Welcome. My name is Sandy. I am one of the four counselors at Appalachian State University. My official title is Assistant Director of Financial Aid. That is simply a fancy title for counselor. So we have a short presentation here for financial aid, and I will explain as I go. So the first step is, of course, you know, for financial aid is to file your FAFSA. And when is October 1st. So next Friday, the FAFSA opens for the 22-23 academic school year. So if you're planning to attend Appalachian State University or any university or any community college for that matter, any school that issues financial aid during the 22-23 school year, you need to get on the ball October 1st and file your FAFSA. It is open, you know, of course, through the academic year, but it does open October 1st, and it is extremely important to file your FAFSA early because if you live in state, as I'm assuming most of you are in-state students, the state grants and most of your institutional grants are issued on a first-come, first-served basis according to how quickly your FAFSA comes in. Okay, so Appalachian State offers an Appalachian College Opportunity Grant, and it is $2,000 per academic year, and that is issued on a first-come, first-served basis and we issue it until the funds are gone by how quickly we receive your FAFSA. So get the FAFSA done quickly. State grants are done the same way. We are now the end of October, end of September, and state grants are already gone. So students who are just now doing their FAFSA, and believe it or not, there are students who still don't have their FAFSA done for this academic year. And if they're just now getting their FAFSA in, they're not getting any state grants, even if they have need. So get the FAFSA done early. Make sure you are applying for scholarships early. Most scholarships for next year, believe it or not, those especially institutional scholarships are closing in the fall. So check your institution of choice and see what scholarships for freshmen are available now, because those scholarships will close, I can almost guarantee you, at the latest January. So check those out, see what's available. Also check out your local and state governments and authorities, different venues, and see what they have available. Check out the websites of the universities. I'm so sorry, my dog's barking. We have a great website for scholarships that will tell you how to search for outside scholarships as well. And a lot of your outside scholarships actually will come in at a variety of times during the year. So we're still encouraging students to, even for this school year, to search for outside scholarships. So what does your FAFSA do? Your FAFSA is going to gather your student and your family demographic information. In other words, you know, where you live, what's your household size, and that sort of thing. It's going to gather your student, the students and the family's financial situation. So, your tax information, how much money you made. Do you have any investment net worth? It is very important to pay attention to what the FAFSA means by investment net worth. We are taught to think of our primary home, you know, the home that we live in, as an asset. But according to FAFSA, it is not. So don't put your primary home down as an investment net worth or as an asset, because you don't have to. You can own a $1 million home outright. And so long as that is your primary home, you don't have to list it on your FAFSA. You don't list your retirement investments on your FAFSA. That gets a lot of people in trouble. So don't list that as well. So when you get to that section, make sure you read carefully what they're actually asking for, because if you don't have to report it, don't. Make sure you report everything you're supposed to, because if you get pulled for verification and didn't report it, your EFC may go up. But make sure you don't report things you don't have to, because you don't want that EFC to go up unnecessarily. It's going to determine by those numbers what your student's financial need is. And we call that the EFC. It is the expected family contribution. And that's where, that's the number we have to use to base the student's award. It allows all schools nationwide to make the award based on the need. And this has to be completed annually. So every year you have to complete the FAFSA. Again, when does the FAFSA open? It opens October 1st every year. A lot of common mistakes, not completing it at all. Okay, you have to complete the FAFSA if you want any federal, state, or institutional grants or loans for that matter. Or not filling out the FAFSA by the deadline, not reading definitions correctly and putting things on there that you shouldn't, or leaving things off, not using the data retrieval tool. When you get to the financial information, it'll give you the option of using what's called the data retrieval tool, which means instead of manually entering all that financial information from your tax form, it'll actually take you to the IRS and allow it to pull it in. Now, if it gives you that option, which it will, make sure you have your tax form in front of you, because it's going to make sure that it's you that's filling out the information, and you have to put certain items such as your name, your address. I want to say phone number that you put on your tax return into that form exactly as it appeared on your tax return. If you don't put it in exactly as it appeared on the tax return, it'll reject it. So make sure you've got that in front of you, because if you actually wrote out road on your tax return, and in this form you abbreviate road, it'll reject it. It's that picky. So make sure you know exactly what was on your tax return. And so if it approves it, it'll go straight to the IRS. The IRS will transfer the information directly to your FAFSA, and it makes it a whole lot easier, and you're less likely to get pulled for a verification. A lot of people forget to sign their FAFSA. Now, it's like when you're signing your taxes online, you've got a PIN number. So the student has to have a PIN number, the parent has to sign a PIN number, and you both have to sign the form. Okay, so the parent has to sign, the student has to sign. Don't leave fields blank. So even if it's asking you about those assets and you don't have any, you put a zero. Another thing this is something else. It's a tricky question. When it gets to the part of the assets, even if you don't have any, it's actually going to ask you, do you want to fill out the part about assets? And you might think, well, I don't have any, so no. And you think it's optional and you skip it. Don't skip it. You're going to get pulled for verification. Because the FAFSA is going to go ding, ding, ding. You didn't want to. So what are you hiding? You're going to say yes. And you're going to go in there and you're just going to put zeros for everything if you don't have anything. Okay. But you have to answer everything. Even if it's a zero, you put in a zero. So don't skip anything. Failing to use your legal name. So if you're like, for instance, I go by Sandy, but my legal name is Sandra. If I'm filling out the FAFSA, I have to put Sandra. I cannot put Sandy. Make sure you put your correct address. Incorrectly filing taxes as head of household. You cannot put head of household on the FAFSA. Any more than you can on your taxes if it's incorrect. And if you filed your taxes incorrectly, the FAFSA will pick up on it, the fact that you filed your taxes incorrectly, and it will get rejected. You'll get pulled for verification. You'll have to amend your taxes before they will award you any aid. So it's kind of like the IRS and the FAFSA are kind of working hand in hand. And then, of course, not listing the school. We have students who will call in, it's, you know, getting close to school starting, they still haven't been awarded, and we said, we don't have your FAFSA, and they said, well, I filed it in October, and so we'll go to FFA, and we can't pull up their FAFSA because they never listed us on their FAFSA. So if you want the school to receive your FAFSA and award you, you have to actually list the school on the FAFSA. And I think they allow you up to 5 schools, if I'm not mistaken, to be listed. And again, when does it have to be completed? I mean, how often? Annually, every year. So we're not going to read through all of this. This is a lot of information that has to be put on your FAFSA, your social security number, alien registration. Well, we can go through it real fast. Alien registration number, if you're not a U.S. citizen, although to be honest, I don't even know why that's on there, because if you're not a U.S. citizen, you cannot get federal funds. I think the reason that might be for parents. Although for parents, if you are a U.S. citizen and your parent is not, when it asks for social security number, you put all zeros in for the parent's social security number. You have to put your federal income taxes. You can transfer bank statements. So they're going to ask how much money you've got sitting in the bank. If you've got untaxed income, they're going to ask for that. You've got to have your FAFSA ID, FSA ID, which you'll sign up for that before you actually log in. So you've got, again, you have to have one for the parent and one for the student. And what if you can't complete a FAFSA? If your parents don't have a social security number, again, if your parents don't have a social security number, you can still file a FAFSA. You just simply enter all zeros for their social security number. So long as you have a social security number, you can file a FAFSA. Sometimes it gets a little trickier and sometimes it gets rejected and we have to fix it, but you can file a FAFSA. If you don't have a social security number, you can't file. You do have to have a social security number. If you're a U.S. citizen and you don't have a social security number, you need to get one so that you can file it. But you do have to have a social security number to file a FAFSA. If you were homeless, you can indicate that on your FAFSA because there are special conditions. We can do, it's an override. Chances are it will be rejected. And then we do an override and you have to, there are steps that you take that we can provide to get you special aid, but you can still file your FAFSA if you are homeless. I don't have contact with my parents. Again, that is a dependency override. There are steps that we can take. When you file your FAFSA, you will file it without your parents' information on there. Your FAFSA will be rejected. But again, that's when you have to reach back out and you have to explain the situation. We have to put in a special appeal and you'll have to provide documentation of the fact that you don't have contact with your parents and why you don't have contact with parents. If your school counselors here, Mr. Walsh and Ms. Mills, if they've got most likely have information of this. And so getting letters from them are perfect letters to get for documentation of this kind of situation. And we deal with this all the time. Okay. So there are plenty of students that are at our school that have dependency overrides because of situations with the parents. But it does have to be documented and then we can get you independent status. But when you initially file your FAFSA, it will be rejected. And then you have to go through us for the appeal process. My parents won't give me their financial information. Now that's a different ball game. According to federal regulations, a student has to use their parents' financial information until they are 24 years old or married. We do not recommend you run out and get married just to get independent status because your parents won't let you have their financial information. If they won't, I would highly, highly recommend that you speak to your parents and explain that putting them on their FAFSA does not obligate them in any way, shape, or form. Okay. It just gives us that EFC so that we can get you awarded as best we can. Putting them on the FAFSA we will not at all send them any bill. The bill is completely the student's responsibility. It in no way puts any responsibility on the parent whatsoever. It just allows us to get an EFC because the federal government says that they should be willing to help you, but does not demand that they do. If that doesn't work and they still refuse to help, we can, without a FAFSA, award you some unsubsidized loan funds, but that's the best that we can do. And then you would probably have to go for private loans after that. So because the unsubsidized loans probably wouldn't cover your entire bill, but it would be better than nothing. But I would definitely recommend talking to the parents and explaining it doesn't obligate them at all. Types of aid, scholarships, federal state, institutional grants. Federal student loans are awarded according to your status as a freshman, and it's $500 per year.
Sandra, I don't know what happened, but your voice has really changed. Okay, you're back.
Okay. How much did you miss?
The whole last like minute and a half.
Yeah, it kind of cut out right at types of aid.
There you go.
Okay. Thanks, Jennifer. All right. Well, the types of aid that you can get are scholarships, of course, and that's free money. Free money is good money. Hunt for as much of that as you can. Don't ignore the little ones. Oh my goodness. I saw a girl last April who had a parent. Now she did have their financial information on their FAFSA. So she was getting student loan offers because her parents made a lot of money. So she was getting were student loan offers because her EFC was really big, but they still weren't willing to help her. So she was having to find her own funds. And she spent a lot of time searching for outside scholarships. She is the only student I have ever seen whose award page scrolled. Everybody's award page is still, okay, there's just a few things on there and it doesn't move. Hers did. She and the largest scholarship I saw on her page was $500. Most of them were between $100 and $300. And they all added up to cover her entire cost of attendance, which was about $22,000. And she wasn't even using her student loans. Okay. She had scholarships between $100 and $300 per year that she had so many of them, they added up to $22,000. So don't ignore the little ones. They do add up if you get enough of them. And of course, everybody wants the big ones, but don't ignore the little ones, okay? Because they can add up. Federal, state, institutional grants. The federal grant is your Pell Grant. State grant, of course, comes from the state, and then institutional grant for App State, that's the ACOG. You get your federal student loans. That is dependent on your class status. So federal freshmen get $5,500. Sophomores get $6,500. Juniors and seniors, it's $7,500 per year. If you are a dependent student, which most are, but if you are an independent student, so these are the students that are either older and come back later, you know, they're 24 or older, or they're married, or those rare students that get a dependency override, their federal student loan offers for freshmen, it is $9,500. Sophomores, it's $10,500. And then juniors and seniors, it's $12,500. So they are allowed a little bit more. If you're one of those families that are making a little bit more money and you're out of grant range, the federal government does offer a loan for parents. It's a federal student loan for parents. It's called the Parent Plus Loan. You would apply for that at studentaid.gov. It's the FAFSA site. It's at a lower interest rate than most private loans will offer you. And you can put it in an in-school deferment while your student is in school if you choose to. It usually goes into repayment right away, but if you want to have it put in an in-school deferment, you can choose to do so. And then, of course, there are plenty of private loan companies out there that will offer loans to parents as well, and private loans for students also. And the biggest ones we see come through are Sallie Mae, Discover, and College Avenue, although there are many others out there. Aid that has to be paid back, of course, are only your loans. Grants do not have to be paid back. Scholarships don't have to be paid back. Those are free. That's free money. Free money is good money, and that's what we want you to have. Unfortunately, not everybody gets them. We do encourage you to hunt for as many scholarships as you can. This is the website for our scholarship page. It's scholarships.appstate.edu. And on that website, you will find links to the outside scholarship page. You'll find the links to our first year students website. And if you're a senior now, I would highly recommend going to that one, like now, and checking out what is available for first year students, because like I said, those are going to be closing, start opening up soon, and they will be closing at the latest January. Some of them will start closing in, I believe, November, towards the end of October, first part of November. So I would check out the first year students link very quickly. There's one that is called the Chancellor Scholarship for first year students, and that is a full ride scholarship. So definitely check that out. Again, the grants, you've got the federal or Pell, and I forgot about the FSEOG. That's federal. Oh, I always forget what it stands for. it's a federal grant. It's very small. They're very limited funds. Most students don't get it because they're so limited, but it can be anywhere from $250 to $500. It's not a large grant. The Pell grant can range anywhere from $700 and some dollars per year up to $6,495 is the maximum this year. State grants, I have seen those range anywhere from $700 up to right at $3,500 per year. And those are your UNC need-based grant, NCE-based grant, and the North Carolina Education Lottery Scholarship. And then, of course, our institutional grant is the ACOG. Loans, you have to be at least half-time to receive loans. So that's your, and actually you have to be half-time to also receive your state grants, which is 6 hours. There's no credit check. You just have to fill out your FAFSA. You can't be in default on anything else, of course, on any other federal loan. There's low interest rate right now. It's 3.73, I believe it is. They get deferred while you're in school. So in other words, you don't pay any payments until you get out of school, 6 months after you get out of school. The interest rate is capped. It's for the life of the loan. You're allowed, as an independent student, you're allowed a maximum of $31,000. As an independent student, you're allowed $57,500 total. And then of course, I've already told you the caps for each individual year. So studentaid.gov is where the parents would apply for their PLUS loan. I think we've covered most. Oh, when you get a loan, the first year you get a loan, you do have to go back to the FAFSA site and apply complete entrance counseling and sign a master promissory note. This tells the government that you understand that it is a loan, it is not free money, and that you will have to pay it back. And, you know, basically we want you to make sure that you understand that, you know, there's always a way to afford college. Don't assume you can't just because you don't make any money. There's aid out there for almost everybody. Definitely research your estimated costs of attendance, which is their budget, at all of the schools that you're interested in applying for. Definitely understand the difference in the costs associated with public and private schools, and the difference between living on and off campus, and definitely between in-state and out-of-state. It's definitely one of the most heartbreaking parts of my job is trying to find funds for out-of-state students, because it's so expensive for out-of-state, and their aid very seldom covers their costs, and then they end up, they definitely struggle. Meet with a financial aid counselor, talk about the costs and personal budgets, find out where you can find the aid, especially if you're one of those students who's out of grant range. Meet with someone, find out what your alternatives are, and plan ahead. Okay, don't wait until, you know, you're halfway through the semester and you've got a bill that's due and you can't pay it and it's almost time to register for the next semester and you're going to have a hold on your account because you can't register because you haven't paid the bill. It's not the time to plan. Definitely plan ahead. So, and make sure you file your FAFSA early. And I think that was my last slide. Oh, I lied. Make sure you ask questions about filing the FAFSA, change in family circumstances. That's a big one. Because the FAFSA is based on 2 years prior, let's say that like this FAFSA that you're going to file next Friday is based on 2020's taxes. But let's say by the time you start school, mom or dad's lost their job. And so the financial aid, the financial situation of the family has changed. You reach out to us. We can do what's called a professional judgment appeal and base your FAFSA on your current situation rather than the old situation that your FAFSA was filed on. Don't go in and change your FAFSA on your own. You're not allowed to do that, but we can change it for you based on the current situation and try to bring you in some more funding. Okay. Don't ever change your FAFSA on your own unless it was because you realized you made a mistake, but don't go in and make corrections because something changed. The FAFSA is always based off of the current situation when you filed it. You don't go in and make changes later because something changed. This is a typical cost of attendance for out-of-state versus in-state. 281 for in-state, 37,000, almost 38,000 for out-of-state students. You don't get billed all of this. This is how much aid you can get for the year, but you don't get billed all of this. So in other words, if you get aid up to $21,000, the only thing you're getting billed for is your tuition and fees. If you're living on campus, you get billed for your room and board and your $250 book rental fee. And then once your bill gets paid, anything that's left over gets refunded to the student to help them pay for any type of personal expenses they might have, or, you know, transportation costs they have off campus, you know, or going back and forth home and that sort of thing, any extra supplies they might need. It's money that goes in their pockets. All right. And we have a chat box if you want to get on there and ask the chat box some questions. And you can also make a virtual appointment with a counselor. You can sign into our virtual walk-in hours every day between 2 and 4, Monday through Friday, and they'll put you right in with the counselor. The links are on our website, and you can call the call center as well. So I think I'm finally through boring you.
All right, I just want to mention a few things. So last year when we presented this, and again, Appalachian State was our presenter last year, we had a lot of families and students take advantage of the call center and the meet with the counselor virtually. And the feedback we received was that it was very positive and it was really worth their time to do that. So we highly recommend that you guys reach out to the email address on this slide and set up an appointment or drop into their walk-in hours, because you will find it to be very beneficial for whatever questions you may have, they will have the answers for you. And if they don't, they will find it for you. And again, the feedback we received last year was that it was very beneficial. So we highly recommend that you take advantage of that opportunity. One of the questions that we had come in was, if I currently have a college student and will be a college senior for 22-23 and a high school senior who will be a college freshman for 22-23, can I file one FAFSA that covers both students, or do I have to file two separate FAFSAs for each of them?
Two separate FAFSAs for each of them. And since there will be two students in college, for the household size, you'll put out the total that's in the household, and then two will be in college. Now, the mother wasn't, the parent wasn't in college, right? Two students in college.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's say that there's five members in the household. It'll be five. The household size will be five and two. So five members in the household, two are in college. And that's actually going to help their EFC. The EFC is going to come down because now there's two in college.
Okay. Thank you, Sandy. Our next question was, if divorced, does the ex's financial information have to be used and obtained? I claim the student on my tax return, but he does not, and he never has.
Okay. No. When the parents are divorced, the only parent that goes on the FAFSA is the parent that the student lives with.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
The next question we have is, what if you are applying to more than five schools? Does this mean financial aid can't be considered for more than five schools?
That's a good question. I guess you would reach out to FAFSA and ask them how to add an additional school. I know there's a place on there for five. I honestly don't know how to add an additional one. There's got to be a way. I can't imagine they would limit you. There's got to be a way of adding it, but I would reach out to there's a customer service number from FAFSA, and I would reach out and ask them how to add an additional school.
Thank you. We had one for clarity. The final slide with the average cost, was that per year, the $21,000 for in-state, was that per year?
It was per year.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then,
and it looks like somebody answered this. Oh, go ahead, Mr. Welsh.
I was going to say, so just for the clarity piece of the last question, it is confirmed. I just confirmed it as well as someone from the chat. Once you do your first five schools, you can go back and take them off and then add more. I just confirmed that in okay. with the FAFSA as
that
well.
That would make sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So it once the school has the information, yeah.
To answer a lot of the questions that have come in, yes, once we finalize this presentation, we will have a copy of the presentation and the PowerPoint deck that we will have posted on our CHS website. So yes, it will be posted sometime early next week, just based on the turnaround time that we have to make sure that everything is correct and all the information is present. So yes, it will be posted by early next week.
Oh, and I'd like to say something about the appointments. If you have parents who speak Spanish and are more comfortable speaking Spanish, one of our counselors who is in training right now, his name is Jonathan, and he speaks fluent Spanish, so they may want to make an appointment with him. He is not making appointments yet. They're going to start trying to get him set up next week or the week after. So if they go to make an appointment and don't see his name in the appointment scheduler, then they could put in the notes, please have Jonathan there. And the counselor that they sign up for would make sure Jonathan is in the room to help with the language. But if they definitely want a Spanish-speaking Counselor Jonathan is definitely your man. He's awesome.
So that looks like it's all the questions that we had come in. If you have any last minute questions, can you please place them on the Google Doc that we sent out, the tiny URL link? This has been a very informative night. Lots of information, lots of great information. And just to clarify once again, we will have this presentation posted on our CHS website, and we will be receiving a copy of the PowerPoint as well. And that will also be posted on there. Within the chat, I did post a link that goes to our scholarships and FAFSA information, which is located in our CHS website. When you go onto our CHS website, you click quick links, you go to the counseling tab, and on that tab, you will see a ton of information about scholarships, other student opportunities, senior connections, all of that information that we have that we send out and annoy all of you with, the numerous emails that we've sent about the senior connections, which was one every day for the last four. All that information is going to be on our website under the counseling tab. So feel free to check that out at any time. We are constantly updating and constantly posting. So that will conclude our night. We thank you all for participating. A big thank you to Miss Sandy from Appalachian State. You were fantastic. And we are very glad that we have this partnership with you and look forward to continuing it for years to come. So thank you, everybody. Stay safe. It looks like it's raining cats and dogs out there right now. So take care. Have a good night. And thanks for attending.
Yes, thank you. If you're still on, I am going to plug our next meeting really quick. October 6th is our college panel night, and we're going to be meeting with an in-state, an out-of-state, and a private school, an SPCC, and they're going to go over the application process. So if you would like to do that, join us October 6th. That's going to be in announcements and e-news, and we're going to start blasting all that information out soon. So thank you again, Sandy, for coming, and thank you all for being here tonight. Oh.
You're welcome. And I think I forgot too to say that if they have trouble with their FAFSA, they can make an appointment. We'll help them fill it out as well.
Awesome. That's great to know. Thanks, everybody. Have a great night.